very good song. If there's a place we need to be holy at, it is in our home. If you're holy in your home, everything else will follow. And I love even how it ties in with the message tonight, and because I'm going to be speaking tonight on, as we were dealing with the men last week, and the importance of loving your wife. And we looked at that last Sunday night, and that command that is given to the man to love his wife. And you're to love her as Christ loved the church. All right? And that one issue we dealt with last week will solve so many problems in your marriage. Really. I mean, it will actually put into line almost every other thing that I'm going to be discussing during this series if that is in place in your marriage. All right? And, but that goes right, holy in our home. Make us holy in our home. And again, so tonight I'm going to be dealing with one of the greatest destroyers in a home and in a relationship. And that is the sin of adultery. We're going to be dealing with that tonight, and perhaps there's someone here where that's been in the past. One thing I like, some of the words of that song, let's remember that God's grace is amazing. It's amazing what it can do and how it can absolutely be there for us. And this is preventative tonight. The Lord put this on my heart about 2 weeks ago, really in the middle of the night. And I could not get away from this. And so we are going to be dealing with this. We're going to be dealing with this tonight. We're going to look at a couple of different verses by way of starting. Let's start off in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And next week we should continue and go on to the wife, looking more on the side of the issues with the wife next week, dealing with submission. It's certainly not a word that the world likes to hear anymore. They have the wrong view of marriage and what the family is all about, but we will be looking at that next week and go from there. But Exodus chapter 20, now again, we're going to jump around here in a few different places right now, maybe just two. I have three here. I think I'll just go to two of them. Exodus chapter 20. And verse 14. Very simple, one sentence, one statement, a command of our Lord, thou shalt not commit adultery. Everybody get that? Pretty simple, huh? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's go over to 2 Samuel. Start in chapter 11. And it came to, verse 1, and it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servant with him, and all his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. What a mistake. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. When you get into chapter 12, you find out the sin is exposed. The Lord sends the prophet Nathan with a parable to King David. And the sin is exposed at that point in time. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I certainly ask for your help this evening. Lord, I pray, Lord, I know you have a reason for this, Father, so I pray, Lord, that you would control, Lord, what I say and how I say it. Lord, I pray that this would be a help to all, that it would help to strengthen marriages, Lord, and to prevent, Lord, something that come in that can just be such an altering, such a life-changing event. Lord, I beg you, Lord, that you would work and strengthen the marriages that are here. Lord, please bless and work, Father. I beg you. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Bless tonight, Lord. I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned this incident briefly about a month ago, maybe in the very first sermon in the series. And it was a Thanksgiving day. We were in New Guinea. And I got the phone call that one of my members was at the house sick. We have an aid station there. They call it a house sick. And so I headed over there real quick, and sure enough, it was one of our key ladies in the church. Good family. And it was a good family. Make no mistake about it. And she had tried to kill herself. And I, me and Marianne went into the room and sat down there, and she had found out that her husband had committed adultery. I then headed out to the village to go meet with him immediately. I still remember him coming out. He knew why I was there. I mean, he knew when he saw the missionary's car coming, he knew why it was coming there that morning. And he had walked out, and we went and sat on a log out near the road, stopped my car, and we sat down, and I just remember the stoic look on his face. He knew everything had changed that day in his marriage. He knew it was different now. This was a fella who had great potential within the ministry. He was a leader in the work at Kudu Kudu. Just a key person in the work in Kudu Kudu. Matters were going to get worse, though, before they got better. She was in the house that went back, and I remember praying back with her, went back to the house, and in New Guinea, it's just so much part of the culture, and that is the idea of vengeance, revenge, payback. As a matter of fact, I don't know if they still do it. The State Department, if you found out that you were traveling to PNG, you would actually get a memo from the State Department letting you know different things to look out for. You're going to another, this is a different world when you get there. And they would have different things listed. I remember they sent that to me when I traveled there the first time back in January 2001. And one of the things they listed was the danger there of payback and vengeance. And they told you what to do. For instance, if you get into a car wreck or you hit a pig, don't stop. Head to a police station immediately and wait there. So anyhow, that certainly was a huge part of the culture. And Friday comes along, and I went up to the aid station to check on the wife, and they had released her the evening before. I immediately headed out to the village, found them both, and pleaded for no vengeance. I did not want the wife going and committing adultery. That's how that would take place. You do this, I will do the same. A few days later, the wife came to me. It was too late. That village that night, as soon as she got back, went ahead and did the payback, if you will. We began the counseling on a regular basis immediately. But everything had changed. Now, through God's grace, I'm thrilled to see how far they've come through this. They're still there right now, still faithful, and trying to do what's right. But it's a devastating. It is, and we're going to see that in Scripture here. All right? Did you know that when it comes to sexual sins, and for the sake of the company, I'm going to use the word physical in replace of that over and over during this message. There is no other sins in the Bible except for the physical, sexual side that the Bible gives more warning on. It's by far and away the most. By far and away, it's the most. I've seen it time and time and again. I remember he was in my wedding, best man in my wedding, as a matter of fact. And I was in the Air Force, and the pastor originally called me and said, boy, there's major problems there. And we were getting ready to head back for a holiday break anyhow, and we had headed back, and called him up right away, said, we'll meet at a restaurant and we'll talk. We went to the restaurant, And he had lost. He was never big, but he was kind of husky. He no longer was. He was as slim as anything. And the look on his face was different. I said, "What's going on?" And he said, I caught it. And I said, I didn't eat for I don't know how long. I didn't go to work. I didn't do anything. They never recovered from that. They never recovered. We sat in a restaurant, and it just didn't matter who was around. It was oblivious, and I watched him weep and weep and weep while we sat in that restaurant. We see the example that we have here with David with what took place with Bathsheba. David's life was never the same again. God's grace was there. We have, you know, this prayer of David here, creating me a clean heart, O God, was in response to all that took place with Bathsheba. And the Lord did just that. And He does. His grace is amazing. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. But his life was not the same again. And we did not read it here. I'm going to read a little bit here when the prophet came to David. In 2 Samuel 12, for time's sake here, I'm going to start in verse 9. Nathan has now made clear to David the parable that he gave him, that he knows that David has committed this sin. In verse 9, he's been going after it here, and he says, "Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite." If you're not familiar with the story, Bathsheba ends up pregnant. And he is trying to cover this thing up as best he could. He even invited Uriah to come back home. You know, I'm going to give you a break from the battle. Because the battle was taking place, remember that from verse 1. So he has Uriah come back so he can spend time with his wife. And nobody will know that it's David's child. But of course, Uriah was a man of honor. He gets home and he says, "You know what, I cannot go in there and be with my wife. Why, I've got other men out on the battlefield dying right now." And so he wouldn't go in. And so David has him killed as a result. And then David takes Bathsheba to be his wife. Now the prophet comes forward. And so anyhow, let's continue reading here. "Now has killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and thou hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall be with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." Again, David's life was never the same. He had the rebellion of his son Absalom. He had such fighting and complications and other immoralities taking place that, you know, it was just, as you read on from that point on, you're like, wow. David is a great example of how the truth that your sin never affects just you. It always affects others. There is great importance, please hear this, there is great importance to purity in relation to the physical side. It is of great importance. It is stressed throughout the entire Word of God. Even when we get to verses like Matthew 19, and these are certainly verses that we don't like today, but we can still see the strength of this throughout the Word of God. And really, I've got a ton here later on. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and it goes on and on. All these different verses and commanding to not to commit adultery, stay away from fornication, even to the point where Christ was going talking about marriage and going back to the very beginning and dealing with the issue of divorce. And he said, "And I say unto you," in verse 9, "whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication and shall marry another committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." These are verses that certainly aren't popular today, but they're still true. There's a great importance in that physical purity. If you want your home to be holy, this is key. This is key. The physical act itself, of course, is not sin. The Bible is clear that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, look at that verse. Let's see if you don't know that verse. That would be a good verse for you to read. Within how God has defined the physical union between a man and a woman, it is something that is right. It is something that should be placed in the marriage. It's given to strengthen the marriage. Hebrews 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. The act itself, when it's within the right guidelines that God gave it, is meant to be great and wonderful. The sin comes in when it's against God's design, when it's before marriage, when it's not just between the husband and the wife. I was watching an interview the other day, and I can't remember the... Well, it was actually probably about 6-7 months ago, not the other day. And I can't remember the whole context of it. And it was a preacher that was being interviewed by a secular news. And they got on the issue, some of the issues we're dealing with here now, and he was talking about abstinence and things like that. And he said, well... I can't remember the situation they gave up, and he basically said, "Well, they should be abstinent the rest of their life." And the guy was in shock. What? You see, we live in a culture where the God is the physical. Do you understand that? Our culture absolutely worships sex, worships it. So when you try and provide a scenario when abstinence should be in play, maybe even for the rest of someone's life, they're taken back because their God has just been removed. And yet we have to learn the importance that God is enough. I've heard all the different scenarios and all the different lies that lead up to it. From whether it's on the fornication side or the adultery side. Listen, to our single ladies, please don't ever listen to that lie. It's all right. We're going to be married one day, so it's all right. No, it's not. Whoremongers, God will judge. Don't listen to the manipulation. It's not true. Satan has perverted something wonderful and has turned it into a great sin against the Creator, and it absolutely brings the judgment of God. This is not like other sins, even scripturally. It's not like other sins. It's a different realm you're getting into here. They have great consequences. They have destroyed societies in the past. I mean, biblically, we can just think of Sodom and Gomorrah, of the ultimate of their perversion that they were getting into. It all dealt with this physical side of the house, and it got to that point, and God said, I've had enough, and He destroyed it. I mean, everything in a mass, a way of judgment. Rome did not fall from, it wasn't because of the barbarians coming down from Germany and those different places that really destroyed Rome. Rome absolutely fell from within, from the decay, from within its own culture. And it weakened them and weakened them and weakened them. Look at our culture right now, how weak and pathetic and pansy-ish it is becoming. Where is this coming from? It is judgment as a result of the mass amounts of sexual sins that is taking place in our nation. The command is given over and over. We saw it in Exodus 20:14. It's repeated in Deuteronomy 5:18. Throughout the New Testament, Romans 13:9, James 2:11, Acts 15:20. Acts 15:20, remember that one. That's where they had the Jews who had come in. Most of them were false converts, not even true believers, and they got into the church. They said they were converted. And they began preaching that to the Gentiles, listen, if you really want to be saved, if you really want to be a true Christian, you really have to become a Jew first. You've got to get circumcised. And they had this council that takes place in Acts chapter 15 to settle the issue. Of course, none of that was true, and so they concluded, no, you don't have to do any of that. We are saved by grace through faith. And yet when they send out instructions to the Gentile believers, they to know what we are going to tell them? Abstain from fornication. There's danger there. Danger. The end, let's look a little bit about the end of adultery, the end of sexual sin. Satan, when tempting, never wants you to think of the consequences of your action. He doesn't want you to think down the road of what that's going to take place. Only think of the pleasure of now. Only think of now. You can come up even with different scenarios in your mind. Listen, you're believing a lie. You're setting yourself up for destruction. The Lord wants you to know to dwell upon. The Lord wants you to dwell upon. No, what is going to be happening? Listen, the judgment is going to happen. It's going to take place. Be sure your sin will find you out. Again, there is no other sin in the Bible where the Lord gives more warning and tells of repercussions than the physical sins. Please do not think that you will escape the repercussions. You will not. Look in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, 27, 28, and into 29, I believe. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes? Not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Compares it to fire. Go ahead and stick your hand in fire. Let's see if you get burned. Proverbs chapter 5 shows much of the end of adultery, of sexual sin. Look at verse 9. It's already talking about, now stay away, run away. And that's what you do. If there's ever a time that you are confronted with this sin, you do just like Joseph did, you run away. You get out of there. You don't debate, well, what am I going to do? You just get out of there. You'll run away. I remember one of the first times that I was ever confronted with the possibility of this sin. I was on my first deployment. I was stationed at Holloman, a new Air Force guy, and the Desert Storm had just kicked off. And they flew me to Tampa first for the bladders we're using in the desert for training. There was a bunch of military guys. This was the first time I was ever out and deployed. And I still remember I was naive at the time. I didn't really think I was. And most of the men that were there, hands down, were married. I think there's only a few guys that were single in that group. And the adultery that began to take place, I was just shocked and stunned. And they're like, well, you know, nobody's ever going to know. This is a deployment. This is what you do. And it wasn't even a debate. I'm not even going to put myself in a place to even make this a remote possibility. I'm not even going to put myself in a place. I'm going to avoid that at all costs. I remember one fella just had me sick as anything. I mean, the immorality that he was going through during just a few weeks that we were there, he was set to be married in a month. I wonder how long his marriage lasted. But anyhow, verse 9, lest thou give thine honor unto others. Here's one of the repercussions that comes about it, your honor unto others. In other words, your testimony is destroyed. Your testimony is destroyed. You have given your honor. Your honor is based upon your testimony. That is destroyed. and thy years unto the cruel. It's a hard life. It's a hard life. Verse 10. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Things that you have labored for, God put it in the hand of others. Verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Again, it leads to great mourning. It leads to great sorrow in your life. This is the end of the thing here. And you get into Proverbs, it has a great deal to say about this. Verse 12 and 13, you'll say this, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. It's saying now the regret comes in. It's going to click. It will happen. It'll click, and you're going to think, how stupid. What have I done? Well, why did I not heed the preaching? Why did I not heed the teaching? Listen, don't play with this sin. Stay away, stay away, stay away. Keep it within the bounds that God intended, and it's one of the greatest pleasures that God has given to mankind. Lust is blinding, especially, and it's true in all areas of life, but especially when it comes to the physical. It'll bind you like a strong rope. With this is one that you destroy your, you sin and destroy against your own soul and body. I believe it's verse 32. Yes. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. See, there's a true union before God that takes place with the physical act that is designed for marriage. There's more destruction that is taking place than what you're even realizing when you're given in to this type of sin. They are different than others in that you're destroying yourself. You are affecting your very soul. Verse 33, the context is still adultery. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Proverbs chapter 9, look over there. Proverbs chapter 9. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Again, still the context is dealing with the physical side of the house where nobody knows, you know, the little hidden meet, the hidden meetings that take place and the little rendezvous that are set up and that thrill that you think that you're thriving off of this. You know, you're eating this thing up. He said, listen, but he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Leads to destruction and death. I mentioned this before in another sermon. I'm not going to turn there, but it is Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 26. It is this only sin in the Bible where the Bible says it's more bitter than death. Listen, we should fear, listen to me, we should fear adultery and fornication more than we fear death. You should be afraid of that thing. Look at Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Let me get there. I'm sorry, I didn't get there myself yet. Looking ahead of my notes. Proverbs chapter 31 and the third verse. This is of course, the instruction. Well, let's start in verse 1 for context. We're just going to go to verse 3. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? What, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Here's her first instruction. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. The very first thing she goes to. Very first thing. You see this physical side? It will steal your strength. It will consume you. You will obsess over it. And it steals your strength. The very first thing here through God's Word, she goes to right away. Listen, this is what you need to avoid. This. It destroys kings. Stay away from it. It will steal your energy. It will steal your time. It will steal your strength. And as we've seen, the results are certainly devastating. And Satan's coming in with different ways today. That's why we can see the utter perversion that's coming into society. And we're getting to the point now in society where perversion is starting to look normal to most people right now. And again, you have got to avoid this. You have got to avoid this. Understand the one thing, many men are committing adultery every single day in front of their computer. Jesus said, thou hast heard of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman and lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Listen, that pornography, some of the articles I read on this is just such utter nonsense. Oh, it's going to help the physical side of your marriage. Nonsense. It will destroy it. The eye is not satisfied. It is never satisfied. Listen to me. It'll destroy it. It'll destroy it. It'll destroy it. Your wife will begin to feel used. It'll destroy it. That is never what is intended to be. It is something that is holy and right in the sight of God within the bounds of marriage. We see the results on society as judgment comes. Gonorrhea, syphilis, AIDS, the broken homes, family units destroyed. Even read an article, although they're not promoting it nearly as much, I read one article, I don't remember where, it might have been Fox News, I don't remember where, but this, can somebody tell me the name, it starts with a Z, this disease that's spreading like crazy right now in South America. Zika, is that correct? And of course, they're just talking about mosquitoes. Did you know that the biggest, I don't know if this article is right or not. I only read it in one place, I will say that, but I know it wouldn't be promoted that way, is actually because of immorality. It gets tossed around left and right. That it's physically transmitted, just like gonorrhea, syphilis, and AIDS. Now again, help for staying away from this sin. Help for staying away from this sin. Number one, fear the Lord. Do you understand that? Fear the Lord. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you're planning. He knows exactly what you've done. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. He's not playing with that. Do you understand that? God will judge. Fear the Lord. Number two, consider the end. We could have went to more parts of the Word of God, especially in the book of Proverbs, and I believe that's why that's there. The Lord is laying this out for you to try and keep you from that sin. He goes, listen, I want to show you what's going to happen if you're going to give yourself into this. If that's going to happen, a lot of times it's on the men's side, but it's also on the ladies' side as well. And listen, He wants you to consider the end of this thing, of what's going to happen. Of what's the result of this thing going to be. You know, you don't want to enjoy that pleasures of sin for a season. It's going to end. That is going to come to pass. It's going to end not well. It's going to end in destruction. It's going to end with your honor gone. It's going to end in a miserable life. consider the end. Consider your children. Consider, consider your family. Put things in perspective quickly. Number 3, Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, starting in verse 15. The context here, this is still dealing with the physical sins. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. This is using imagery here. We're not dealing with water. All right. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind, and a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Now, specifically on the side of adultery here, the one thing that's going to help you stay away from it, that is to always be satisfied with your own wife. Listen, the devil will come in and try and do what he can to destroy the physical side of your marriage, because then that opens the door for many other sins to take place. Be satisfied with your own wife. Put things in place in your marriage where that enables that. And we'll probably deal more specifically with things about that next November when we actually do a couples retreat, hopefully at Alyeska. The fourth thing, Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31, and we'll finish up with this. Job chapter 31 and verse 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Be careful what you're looking at. Protect your eyes. This sin just doesn't happen. Not true. It doesn't happen. It just happened. No, it didn't. It started with that glance. Started with that elongated eye contact. Listen, maybe you're in the middle of that right now, and this is for you. Get away from it. Get away from it. Run away. Run away. Do like Joseph and get out of there. Run away from it. Put things up to protect your eyes. Don't give your strength over to this sin. Again, that counts what you're going to be doing on your tablet or on your phone or on that computer. You protect your eyes. You put things in place that what you're not going to do, what you're not going to look at, you have those things right there. You don't let yourself stare at some other woman. If you want to stare at a woman, you put your eyes on your wife, and you stare at her. It's one thing that's nice about marriage. That's legal. And the Lord wants you to enjoy that. But He gives warning after warning. Listen, again, this is a sin that's against your own soul. And as the Lord can, think of how the Lord compares this thing, the destruction against your own soul, hell, you're at the gates of hell with this thing. This is dealing, he uses fire as an illustration. He's given the warning over and over to stay away, stay away, stay away. Listen, remember this. The Lord is enough. He is. Again, we live in a culture that absolutely worships sex. It is the God of our culture. But for us Christians, it certainly should not be close to our God. We have to know the Lord is enough. Even if there maybe there is some issues going on at home and you're trying to work those things out, and listen, there's no reason for the adultery to take place. No, no, no. Trust in the Lord. He is enough. He is enough. Absolutely, He is enough. But we're brought up in a culture that teaches us differently. It is as if you don't have this part of life that somehow, you know, it elevates it to a level that is so untrue, which is leading to all the different sins and immorality that's taking place and the destruction that comes all around and all the births and of, you know, you'll have one lady who'll have five kids by five different guys. So anyhow, help for staying away. Fear the Lord. Consider the end. Be satisfied with your own wife. Protect your eyes. And strengthen that walk with the Lord. Strengthen your walk with Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed.